Dolores and I want to share with you faith that sees out of the valley. Faith that sees out of the valley. The young man David enjoyed a wonderful mountaintop experience. By the Lord's help, he defeated someone everyone considered undefeatable. He destroyed Goliath and brought about a tremendous victory for Israel's army. Things got better and better from there. Israel began singing out David's praise. I mean, literally, the Bible records ballads. The people were singing in praise of David and his victory. David's name became well known. I mean, he was an obscure, unknown shepherd in the hills of Judah. But now, everybody knows David's name. And then, the Bible says that in everything he did, he had great success. Everyone loved David. David met with more and more success as he led Israel's army. But one day, as David was playing his musical instrument for King Saul, Saul flew into an unanticipated rage. He hurled his javelin, trying to kill this young man David, his friend David. Not only once, but twice, he flung javelins at David. But David escaped and entered into a 10-year valley experience. From the mountaintop to the valley in one day. From acceptance to rejection. From good times to difficult times. From enjoyable days to days that you merely endure. And yet, we see that David was a man who could see out of the valley. So, brother, sister, you and me need to follow in his footsteps. And we need to hold on to a faith in God that enables us to see beyond the valley or to see out of the valley. You see, faith that sees out of the valley remembers that valleys always end. Maybe right now you're in a valley experience of depression or struggle or disappointment or hard times or financial difficulties. But brother, sister, that valley is always going to end. Listen to David's words in Psalm 57, verse number 1.
I will take refuge in the shadow of your wings until the disaster has passed.
I will take refuge under your wings. Notice the words. Until the disaster has passed. David expected the valley to end. You see, valleys are intervals between mountaintop experiences. Valleys are not everlasting. They are intervals between mountaintop experiences. Sure, David had just come down from the mountaintop experience, the mountaintop of the praise, acceptance, being loved, being appreciated. Now he's down in the valley experience of rejection, of nobody appreciating him, of people hunting for him to take his life. But he remembered that this was just an interval. There was another mountaintop experience on the way. God is Lord over both mountains and valleys. God is Lord over both fruitful and unfruitful seasons in our lives. Let's read Psalm 1, verse number 3.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever he does prospers.
Here the Bible promises that as we cling to the Lord, that he will make us like a fruitful tree, a tree that bears fruit in season. You see, fruit trees do not bear crops year-round. They have dormant seasons and fruit-bearing seasons. What's the same way with our lives? There are times in our lives that we are greatly fruitful. We enjoy life. Life is just an absolute rejoicing experience. And then there are times when life is something to endure. But nevertheless, God is Lord of the valley experiences. There's another mountaintop on the way. Mountaintops terminate valleys. Remember that, my sister. There's always a mountaintop experience awaiting us. Let's read Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 2.
Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
Notice, Jesus was in the lowest of all valleys. Torture, both emotional and physical, rejection, crucifixion, beating. The valley deeper than any valley that has ever faced any human. And yet it says, for the joy set before him, he endured the cross. And then notice the last part of the verse. It says, he sat down at the right hand of his heavenly Father. So you see, a mountaintop experience awaited Jesus. It's the same way with you and me. Brother, sister, God hasn't lost sight of you. He knows what you're going through. He feels the difficulties you feel. He is there with you. He is going to make you an overcomer. You should be looking up and out of the valley. Don't be looking down. Don't be turning your eyes downward. Turn your eyes upward to the Lord. The Lord is there. He is the Lord over the valley that you are in. So let's look up. Why don't we read this little phrase from Psalm 121, verse number 1.
I lift up my eyes to the hills.
I lift up my eyes. I lift up my eyes to the hills because I know that beyond the valley is a hill, is a mountaintop experience. Jesus was seated high above all else, next to his Father's right hand. Brother, sister, did you know you're going to occupy the same position someday? You're going to sit at Father's side in Jesus. In fact, let's read the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse number 7.
To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
There it is. Jesus says, you overcome. You remain steady during your valley experience. You look up to the Lord. And don't be looking down in discouragement. And I will give you the right to eat of the tree of life that's in the paradise of God. Look up and out of the valley. Listen to King Jehoshaphat's words in 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse number 12.
O our God, will you not judge them? For we have no power to face this vast army that is attacking us. We do not know what to do, but our eyes are upon you.
The king admitted, God, we have no power against this vast army. We don't know what to do, but where were his eyes focused? Where was his attention focused? He said, but our eyes are up on you. So, brother, sister, faith that sees out of the valley keeps reminding us that this valley is going to end and we're going to be set on the mountaintop of victory. Well, faith that sees out of the valley also accepts God's comforting companionship while we walk through the valley. Listen to David's words, very familiar words, Psalm 23, verse number 4.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
David said, God's my companion in the valley of the shadow of death. So, brother, sister, we want to accept God's comforting companionship, just like David did. Now, let me share with you from Scripture, a common reaction to our move from mountaintop to valley floor. So often, we experience what Jesus felt. You see, Jesus was led by the Lord to a mountaintop in Israel. Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John. And while there on the mountaintop, he was transfigured. That means he entered into the heavenlies. Yes, his feet were on the earth. But it's like heaven came down to Jesus. The Bible says that his face glowed with the glory of God. His garments were changed into a brilliant white, such as no laundry could ever make them. He experienced a touch of heaven on the mountaintop. But when he, James, Peter, and John descended to the valley, the apostles were there with the daddy of a little boy. This daddy had brought his son to the apostles and said, "Please cure him." He said to Jesus, they could not drive the devil out. Now I want you to notice Jesus' reaction to his move from the mountaintop to the valley floor. Matthew 17, verse number 17.
"O unbelieving and perverse generation," Jesus replied, "how long shall I stay with you? How long shall I put up with you?"
He felt exasperated. He was upset. He said, "How long shall I put up with you? How long shall I stay here with you, you unbelieving generation?" You see, it's easy whenever we go from revival to rebellion and from mountaintop to valley floor. It's easy to say, "Man, I wish I could get out of here. I wish things were different." But no, we want to accept Heavenly Father's comforting companionship. Now here's the way faith reacts to the move from mountaintop to valley floor. Psalm 91, verse 15.
"I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him."
That's what we do. We say what Psalm 91, 15 says. God is with me in trouble. God is with me in trial. Listen to this beautiful statement. This beautiful statement from Isaiah 63, verse number 9.
"In all their distress, he too was distressed."
How wonderful. The Bible says that in all of our distress, God feels our distress. You see, we are one with God in spirit, and His spirit is one with our spirit. He feels what we feel. He experiences our emotions. So whenever we're on the valley floor of discouragement, or trial, or disappointment, God is there, and He feels it. He has no interest in walking away from us. He wants to walk with us to the valley. So, brother, sister, instead of being upset with the Lord, we reach out to God and say, "God, I know you're with me, even though I don't always see you. Even though my circumstances are telling me you're not anyplace around, even though people are saying to me, how can you be a Christian and go through that? Where is God anyway?" Whenever they're saying that, we lift our eyes to the Lord. And we say, "God, you are Lord over both the mountaintop and the valley floor. So you're with me. Let pain draw you close to the Comforter." You see, pain affects us in one of two ways. It drives us away from God, or it draws us near Him. It's up to us. But we are going to make up our mind that every pain of life, every painful experience in the valley floor, is going to draw us closer to the Comforter. We're not going to allow pain to drive us away. So, faith that sees out of the valley accepts God's comforting presence, pain that sees out of the valley, knows that the valley will end and will be terminated in a wonderful mountaintop experience with the Lord. But thirdly, faith that sees out of the valley delivers us from fear of harm. Let's read David's words again from Psalm 23:4.
Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me.
Notice what he said. I will fear no evil. You see, brother, sister, trials that encounter us on valley floors, they are not there to hurt us, but they only happen to help us. Valley experiences, difficulties, the struggles of life always hurt, but they never harm us. So there's a difference between being hurt and being harmed. Let me share with you Proverbs 12, verse 21, a verse that helped me so much.
No harm befalls the righteous.
I read that during the early years of my Christian life, and I just could not comprehend it. It says, no harm befalls the righteous. Yet I knew missionaries who had given their lives for Jesus. I thought they had been harmed. I knew Christians who had been involved in automobile accidents or in diseases, sicknesses, business failures. And I thought, well, all of these people were harmed. And yet the Bible says, no harm befalls the righteous. And one day it came to me that I was confusing the word harm with hurt. It says they are not harmed. It doesn't say we are not hurt. You see, every valley experience includes pain. What about that? Jesus endured lots and lots and lots of pain, but he did not experience harm because, you see, all his pain improved his person. So, brother, sister, the pain involved with bad experiences can help us, can actually restore us to Christ-like images, can make us better Christians, stronger Christians, more determined Christians. So the Bible doesn't promise we will not be hurt. It promises we will never be harmed. This is James chapter 1, verse number 3.
Because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance.
There it is. We heard that in an earlier sermon. The testing of our faith produces perseverance, or improvement in us. So, faith that sees out of the valley delivers us from fear of harm. We go on doing the will of God. We continue doing the will of God because we know that valleys are helpful and not harmful. Yes, valley experiences are hurtful, but they are not harmful. You will be blessed. You will be helped. Let's read this very familiar scripture, Romans chapter 8, verse number 28.
And we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose.
In all things God works for the good of those who love him. He works for our good because he is on our side. So, brother, sister, lift those eyes. Valley experiences always improve us. Don't fear harm. Sure, we fear hurt. We don't like pain. But God is in the process of improving us. He's in the process of polishing the image of Jesus in us so that we can shine Jesus to all of our world. We can become the light of the world as we reflect the beauties of the Lord Jesus Christ. Valley experiences always improve. Listen to these words from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse number 8, verse number 9.
We do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about the hardships we suffered in the province of Asia. Indeed, in our hearts we felt a sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead.
Here, Paul said, we want to tell you about all the struggles we experienced in the region of Macedonia. We even felt the sentence of death. He was expecting to die for his faith in Jesus. And then he adds these beautiful words in 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, verse number 9. Let's read that again, Dee.
Indeed, in our hearts we felt the sentence of death, but this happened that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God, who raises the dead.
Paul said, all of this suffering, this bad experience happened so that we might not rely on ourselves, but on God. He will say this bad experience was very painful, but it was useful. It was beneficial because it helped us keep relying on God and not on ourselves. So, brother, sister, the God who escorted Paul through his bad experiences, the God who escorts you. Listen to Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 8, talking about Jesus, the human Jesus, it says,
although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered.
He learned obedience. Now, not that he ever wanted to disobey. He wanted relief from suffering. He said, Father, please, if it's possible, take away this suffering, this crucifixion, this death. You see, Jesus was struggling with the will of God. Not that he was antagonistic to it. He was afraid of it. He didn't want to suffer. That's why he asked God to take it away from him. But the Bible says he learned complete obedience to the will of God by the things he suffered. His valley experience perfected his person. And now, forever, we have a perfected Jesus sitting at Father's right hand interceding for us. Brother, sister, it works the same in your life, in my life. We always benefit from valleys. God never wastes pain. He never allows us to go through needless pain. Pain is never pointless in our lives because we belong to the God who loves us. He is our protector who wants to keep us from giving up while we go through valley experiences. He uses pain in our behalf. I wish there was no such thing as pain. All of us wish that. But we have to remember that faith that sees out of the valley experiences keeps reminding us that God is improving us. He knows what he's doing, brother, sister, in your life. He is well aware of all that you're experiencing, and he is there with you. And brother, sister, faith that sees out of the valley experiences enjoys a great view of the Lord. All of us Christians, we say we want to know the Lord. We want to live close to the Lord. Well, sometimes we live closest to God when we're in the deepest valley. Faith that sees out of the valley enjoys a great view of the Lord. You want to see God clearly? You want to see God more perfectly? Lift up your eyes when you're in the valley. Listen to what David wrote for us in Psalm 27, verse number 4.
One thing I ask of the Lord, this is what I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to seek him in his temple.
David said he wanted to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and seek him in his temple. He wanted to see God clearly. So, brother, sister, lift up those eyes now, because your faith that sees out of the valley will show you a God like you've never seen him before. Your vision, your spiritual vision will improve, and you will gaze upon the beauties of the Lord, beauties that you've been blind to before. You will see God more clearly. You will live more intimately with the Lord your God. Brother, sister, valleys always end. In fact, they always end in mountaintop experiences. Valleys become places where we can become more and more intimate with the Lord as we accept his comforting companionship. Valleys are places that hurt but never harm. They actually become helpful. They remove from our spiritual eyes all that blurs our vision of God. And at the end of the valley, we lift up our eyes and seek God in a way we've never seen him before. We see God in a way we wanted to see him, but have been unable to see. Our vision, our spiritual vision improves. And we look back at the valley we just left, and we say, it was worth it. I didn't like the valley. I didn't enjoy it. It was difficult. But I thank God that I went through the valley so I can see the Lord in all his glory, in all his beauty. Let's pray. Jesus, we love you. And we pray that you would help every one of us to become full of faith, but not merely faith in God. We want a faith in God that enables us to see out of the valley. We don't want to live with a faith that waits to leave the valley before we see God. No, we want to see him from the deepest valley, from the deepest depth, from the deepest ravine. Oh, Father, thank you. Thank you for giving us a valley so we can see you out of it. In the wonderful name of Jesus, amen.